Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Take note that today's shiur, Daf Hey, begins at the top of Daf Hey Omid Beis. In our previous shiur, it was necessary for us to continue from Daf Dalid onto all of Daf Hey Omid Aleph, so we're now at Daf Hey Omid Beis at the top. In our previous shiur, we had focused on Shitas Shmuel regarding someone who says Mudrani Mimcha without the additional phrase She'ani Oichelach. The conclusion of the Gemara was that if you say Mudrani Mimcha without adding She'ani Oichelach, the Mudrani Ani Mimcha phrase alone does not imply a prohibition of eating. The Gemara had explained what Mudrani Mimcha might imply. It said on the bottom of Hey Omed Aleph, 3-4 lines from the bottom, the Gemara said it means that I won't speak with you. This leads us into a topic that you can see on the side. We have a Nosekwali, a general topic heading, and we indicate that this general topic will go till Daf Zayin Omid Aleph. So we have a rather long topic ahead of us, and the immediate topic, the Nosei, is E Yodayim Shein Mochichos Havyon Yodayim. A Yad is a partial phrase. We saw this already in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta. We also mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta in our introductory words that Nedarim is characterized by terms and phrases that don't lend themselves necessarily to a simple English translation. Rather, we have to become accustomed to terms and how the Gemara perceives what their implication is. So here we're dealing with partial phrases and their effectiveness in binding someone to a vow. The term Yodayim She'enon Mochichos, or if you prefer the opposite, Yodayim Mochichos, would be a partial phrase whose understanding, whose implied understanding, is very clear. What about a partial phrase that whose understanding isn't very clear? It's ein mochichos. Does it have any relevance? Does it create any obligation, or is one bound as a result of that kind of partial statement that's not absolutely clear? So now, the Gemara at the top of Hey Omid Beis, Lema Kosovar Shmuel, shall we say that Shmuel, based on what he said, that if someone says Mudar Ani Mimcha and he doesn't add the phrase She'ani Oichelach, Shmuel said it's not obvious that he is restricting himself from any eating benefits. So as a result of that, should we conclude therefore that Shmuel is of the opinion Yodayim She'ein Mochichos Lo Havyon Yodayim, that partial phrases whose understanding is not clear does not cause any binding or any restriction? Let's take a look at Rashi's explanation at the top. Lema Sovar Shmuel Yodayim She'ein Mochichos Kidehocha Hoyel Velo Omar Mamish Shani Oichelach, since he didn't spell out that phrase that I am restricting myself from giving you benefit from eating from me. Since he doesn't say that, Amrinon lo mukha milso de bechila komar. We say it's not obvious from just mudor ani mimcha that the speaker is talking about eating. V'lo mitzvah bechila, and as a result of that, there is no eating prohibition. So, should we conclude thusly? The Gemara says, in fact, understand that Shmuel mokim lo lemas nisin kribyuda. Shmuel sets up our Mishnah as a Mishnah based on Rabbi Yehuda, or that our Mishnah is taught by Rabbi Yehuda. Omar yodayim shein mochichos lo hafyon yodayim, that partial phrases that aren't obvious in their meaning are of no consequence. Disnan, and here we go to a totally different realm of halacha. We're now going into the realm of divorces. A divorce is characterized by a written document, a get, and it says in this source, gufo shall get, the heart of a divorce document, in addition to the names of the couple that are getting divorced, the following phrase must appear, hare at muteres l'chol odom, where the husband declares in the text of the divorce document, you are now allowed to marry any man. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, v'dein, and here's a phrase that there's quite a bit of Aramaic in this phrase, v'dein dehavi lichi minoi, and this shall be unto you from me, sefer tiruchin v'geres shvukin, a text of splitting up, of severing, and a letter of separation, of abandonment, of separation. We take a look at Rashi on the third line from the top. Rabbi Yehuda Omer v'dein di havilichi de kosovar ilo kosav be mamish v'dein. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, if you don't write into the text this phrase, v'dein means and this, this writing, this piece of parchment in which the get is written, if you don't have that phrase which specifies and this text is your document of divorce, lav mukha milsa de bahai gito megarish lo, it's not obvious as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that this get, that is through this get that he is divorcing her. The odayim shein mochichos lo havi odayim, because partial phrases that are not absolutely obvious do not constitute anything of legal consequence. So from Rabbi Yehuda's expectation or requirement in a divorce document that things have to be spelled out, it's so, we'll say, obviously, so clearly, without which it's not going to be effective. You see that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that partial phrases that are or expressions that aren't absolutely clear are therefore not binding. The Gemara asks, "Amai dochik Shmuel u'kmo lemas nisin k'reb Yehuda?" What forced Shmuel into setting up the Mishnah like Reb Yehuda? Lukma k'rabbanan, afal gavdi ein yodayim ochichos. Why couldn't Shmuel have said that our Mishnah is in accordance with the Rabbanan that hold, even though the partial phrase is not absolutely clear, it still has consequence? We take a look at Rashi. Lukma lemasis k'rabbanan lema. Why doesn't he hold? Afagav de komar mudo ani mimcha o meruchak ani mimcha lechudei. Even though he says those phrases by themselves, osur b'achila, that results in an eating prohibition. Ve'afagav de lo omar shani oichaloch. Even without saying that, di odayim shein mochichos havi on edayim k'rabbanan. The Amri lo sorach l'michtav beget, Eloha Reat Muteres L'chol Adam. So why couldn't Shmuel have said that the phrase Amuder Ani Mimcha alone does prevent, does ban someone from eating benefit? Very simply, what was it about our Mishnah that forces Shmuel to say what he said, that what he does, that without Shani Ochaloch, you've got a case of a partial phrase that's not clear, and therefore it's not binding. It's not binding certainly with regard to eating. The Gemara answers, Omar Rova, Masnisen Kishisei. There was terminology in the Mishnah that led Shmuel to this single-minded conclusion that the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to have Yodayim Mochichos in order for it to be a binding vow. And what is it about the Mishnah? Amai Toni Shani Ochel Loch. Notice we've dashed underlined the word Loch, or Shani Toim Loch. Toim means to taste from your food, or Ochel is to eat from your food. Listeni Shani Ochel Shani Toim. Why couldn't the Mishnah have simply said, Mudar ani mimcha shani ochel? Why was it necessary to add loch, meaning you, to specify the party to whom he's speaking? Wouldn't it have been enough to write to say, Mudar ani mimcha shani ochel? Shma mino bo inon yodayen mochichos. From the insistence on having the word loch in there, you see that things have to be absolutely clear. And if not, if it wouldn't have had loch, I wouldn't have known what the speaker is saying. If we look in Rashi, listeni shani ochel shani toim, lama li lemeimar loch. Why did the Mishnah have to say in its example the word loch as well? The reason for adding the word loch, meaning to you, he is of the opinion that if the partial phrase is not absolutely clear, it's not binding. Had it been phrased without the word loch, lo have mashma de mudar mechavero, I wouldn't have understood that he is being prohibited from benefiting from his friend. Had he said mudrani mimcha without shani ochel loch, lo mashma debchiluk omar, it doesn't imply eating. Elo delo mishta ino bahadoch. What it would have implied is, I'm not going to be speaking with you. For further elucidation on this particular point of Rava, let's look at the Ran's commentary. You can see the Ran about a third of the way up from the bottom of the wide lines of the Ran. Omar Rava, Masnisik Shisei, Lisni Shani Oichel, Vishani Toim, Pirush. V'i havi toni hachi below loch, had the Mishnah taught the neder as mudani mimcha shani ochel without the word loch, have a shaminon, I would have concluded the yadayim she'ein mochichos havin yadayim. The afal gav the kvar omar mudrani mimcha, even though he said already mudrani mimcha. In other words, had the Mishnah taught that a neder like that is a neder, is a binding vow without the word loch, I would have been able to conclude that yodayim she'ein mochichos is considered yodayim. Shmuel, after all, is of the opinion that the phrase mudar ani mimcha is coupled with the continuation of shani ochel. Afilu hachi shani oichel below loch, and nevertheless, by saying shani oichel without the word loch, yodayim shei mochichus ninu. It turns out that it wouldn't be clear. The iko lemeimar hachi komar. If he would have said mudrani mimcha without the word shani oichel loch, without that word loch, I would have thought as follows: mudrani mimcha I will restrict benefiting from you. Delo mishta'ino ba'adoch. In other words, mudrani mimicha, I won't benefit from speaking with you. I achil no hayom, oad yom ploni, if I happen to eat today. So you see how that could have been misconstrued had he said, mudrani mimcha shani ochel. It would have led to us concluding that I won't speak with you if I eat today. That's why the word loch had to be added. The reason that the vow preventing eating benefit takes hold is because he used the word loch. Had he said just that, lo chayel nidra klal, the neder would not have taken off. Dehavion lu yodayim she'ein mochichos v'lo havion yodayim. It's a phrase that's not absolutely clear, and therefore it's not of legal consequence. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Itmar, yodayim she'ein mochichos. These are partial phrases that are not absolutely clear. On the side of the Gemara, you can see we have a nosem. We also indicate hemshech. This is a continuation of the topic. Yodayim she'ein mochichos. We're going to see Abaye says havyin yodayim, that it is binding, and Rava says lo havyin yodayim, that it's not binding. Once something can be understood as something else, so it doesn't get off the ground. Now the Gemara. Itmar yodayim she'ein mochichos. Abaye omar havyin yodayim, that it is binding. Rava omar lo havyin yodayim, it's not binding. Omar Rava, Rebbe Idi Asbarali, Rebbe Idi explained to me, Omar Kra, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Perek Vav Pasuk Beis, we wrote in the beginning of the Pasuk as well, Ish o isha ki yafli lindor neder, nozir lahazir lashem. Makish yodos nezirus lenezirus. The Pasuk is comparing partial nezirus acceptance to regular nezirus acceptance. Ma nezirus b'hafla, af yodos nezirus b'hafla. Just like the basic acceptance of nezirus must be b'hafla. Now the word hafla means clear speech, leaving no room for doubt. So too, the partial speech must be clear. Should we say that the controversy between Abaye and Rava parallels the machlokis that we saw earlier between the Tanakhama, between the Chachomim and Rabbi Yehuda that we saw with regard to a get? Disnan, gufo shoget, hareat muteres l'cho adam. The heart of the get is that phrase that you are now muter to marry anyone you like. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to add into the divorce document this phrase, v'dein dehavi lichiminoi, and this that you are receiving from me, sefer tiruchin v'get peturin v'gerish shvukin, that this is the document of separation, of splitting our marriage apart. So what do you see? The Tanakhama, as the Gemara goes on to suggest, Abaye domar karabonan, Abaye who says you don't have to have yodai mochichos, he would go like the Tanakhama, the first opinion here, that doesn't require that specification in the document that this is your divorce document. Rava, who says that yodayim shein mochichos lo havyin yodayim, tiyomar krebuta, he would accept the position, he would take the position of Rabbi Yehuda that says you have to spell things out. Omar lo chabaye. At this point, the Gemara rejects this suggestion. The suggestion having been parallel the Amoroyim, Abaye and Rava, with an earlier Machlokes Tanoyim. Not so. Abaye, Omar Loch, Abaye responds, Ano di Amri Afilu Rabbi Yehuda. My position with regard to Yodayim, She'ein, Mochichos, as being Yodayim, will conform with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda will agree with me. And Kan, Lokum Rabbi Yehuda, Bo'in and Yodayim Mochichos, up till this point, Rabbi Yehuda requires very explicit terminology, Elo Gabi Get. It's only with regard to a divorce. De Bo'inun Krisus Feleka. In the case of a divorce, the break has to be absolute, complete break. And in order to accomplish that complete break between the couple, between this husband and wife, that they are no longer attached to one another whatsoever, you have to add this extra expression. Avo be'alma mishamisle, but regarding other topics, do we hear Rabbi Yehuda being so insistent on spelling things out in an absolutely clear fashion? The Rava Omar ano di amri afilu l'rabbanan. Rava, who says that if it's yadam shein mochichos, it's not binding, can be in. It could be agreement with the Rabbanon that said by the get, even if it's not absolutely specified, it still is binding. Ad kan lokom Rabbanon elo delo bo'in on yadam mechichos. Up till this point, the Rabbanon said that we're not insistent on having the details spelled out. Elo gabi get. It's only in the case of get do they have this. We'll call this leniency. The Gemara continues at the top of Vov Amud Aleph. The Ein Odom Megaresh Es Eishes Chavero. When a person is handing a divorce document to a woman, it's obvious that he is handing it to his wife to divorce her. A person doesn't divorce someone else's wife. So the context of the get makes it so obvious as to what is taking place and concerning whom matters are transpiring. Rashi at the top line, Deino Megarish Eseshes Chavero, Dikosav Hareat Muteres L'chol Adam, by writing, you are hereby Muteres to marry any man, Mashma L'shto Komar, it's obvious that he's speaking to his wife. Deishes Imish Da'almo, the wife of some other man, Eino Megarish, you can't divorce her. Umukha Milsa V'shapi Megarish, it's so obvious as to what is taking place even without spelling out the Vedain expression of Rabbi Yehuda. Avo be'almo mishamis lu, but regarding vows in general, who says that the Rabbanan would be so lenient to allow Yodayim Shein Mochichos, or to consider that as binding? As we scan ahead in the Gemara, you notice we have triangles, and they're introduced on the side under our Mivne, our topic heading. These are Kushos al Abaye. We're going to be challenging Abaye, Mimakoros Debohem, Roim Deboinon Yadayim Mochichos, from Tanaic sources where it seems that the phrase, the partial phrase that a person uses, has to be absolutely clear in order for it to be binding. The double underline that follows at each juncture represents a response, Chuvoiser Shabbai Lekusha number one. So we're going to present a triangle we call triangle number one, and within that there'll be a give and take, and there'll be two responses of Abaye that follow. The Gemara, Meisve, Hare Hu Olai, Hare Ze Olai. If a person uses that expression, Osir, Mipnei shu yad l'korban. A person is referring to some item, and he says that it is upon me. What is the result of that phrase? It makes the item prohibited, because it is tantamount to a saying that the item is unto me like a sacrifice. The Rush, at the beginning of the Rush commentary, adds Kigon Shoyokiko Munoch Lefonov. Let's just hold off on that for the time being. On second thought, we look into the Rush, yes, at the first line, Haregu Alai. Kigon Shoyokiko Munoch Lefonov. The person was located in front of a loaf, or there was a loaf in front of him. And he said the following, one of these expressions, that Hare Hu Olai, this is upon me, or Hare Ze Olai. The source tells us that the loaf will become usur to him, as we explained, because he is using a phrase that's considered a Yad L'Korban. He's declaring the loaf of bread unto himself forbidden like a sacrifice. Sacrifice, of course, is something that one dedicates to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's then becomes sanctified, and certainly you cannot derive any personal benefit from it. So by saying Harehu Alai, and there's some item lying in front of you, maybe a loaf of bread, it's tantamount to your prohibiting yourself from benefiting from that item. Now Gemara goes on. Taimo diomar alai hu deoser. He had to spell out the vow by saying it is upon me. And that's what makes the vow into a vow. Avolo amar alai lo. But without saying alai, I wouldn't know that he is vowing. Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, Avolo komar alai lo, darehu. If he would have said just harehu, lo mashma klum, has no implication. The bo'inon yodayim ochichos. We need to have your partial phrase having clarity. So is this then not a tiufto d'Abai? Is this then not a refutation of Abaye's position? Omar loch Abaye. Abaye responds, this is not a refutation. Taimo diomar alai, by having added the word alai, I conclude who the usher. Avol omar harehu v'lo omar alai. Had he said harehu but not included the word alai, Harehu dehefker, harehu ditztaka ka'omar. It would imply something else. And therefore the insistence on the olai is not because without that you have a case of yodayim shem ochichos that simply is not binding, but rather because hare zeh, or hare hu, would have led me to conclude something else altogether. The Gemara asks, "V'ha mitnei shuyad l'korban katani." Let us take a look at the Rashi. "V'ha mitnei shuyad l'korban komar the osur k'korban." The expression "harei olai" is binding because it's considered a partial expression that implies prohibition like a sacrifice. V'lo motzis amris litzdaka lehefker havei mashma. You can't say that by saying harehu it would have implied a declaration of hefker. Hefker means to declare something unowned, or a vow to give charity. Let's also look at the Rush. The Rush adds a little more clarity here. We're looking at the Rush toward the beginning of his commentary. V'ha mitnei shuyad l'korban katani, v'al korchach harei hu, v'a harei zeh koi. The expression in the Tanaic source that we saw three lines from the top, namely that the vow is binding because it's a yad l'korban, is going specifically on the phrase harei hu or harei zeh, not a reference to the word olai. The olai lo have a yad. The word olai is not a partial expression. Elo goreim larei hu shi yochol lios yad. It activates the harei hu term to be a yad. Vekevan dekoi aharei hu larei zeh. And since the seifa is referring to that, mashma de pshinta le diyad l'korban have. It's obvious. It's simple. It's obvious to the Tana that harehu is a reference to prohibition like a sacrifice. The lekalis fuki b'midi achrina. There's no room for thinking that he's trying to declare something hefker unowned or something as charity. The hamaktish korban. Oh hare zelu korban or harehu. When a person sanctifies something as a sacrifice, he will say harehu korban or harei zeh. Hilkoch hamatvis beloshon zeh daito nami akorban. When a person speaks and says harehu or harei zeh, it's very clear that he is referring to a sacrifice, not hefker or tzedakah. Afilu achi katani. Even though hare zeh or hare hu is rather clear that he's referring to a sacrifice, nevertheless, it says olai. Almo taimed kumar olai. So we see from here that it's only because he adds the word olai, dika hoychocha. That makes it very clear. Aval below hoychocha lo have yad, afagav the daite a korban. So with that explanation in mind, the response of Abaye was that I need the olai, because otherwise harehu would have implied hefker or tztaka. That's unfounded, because of the text itself indicating that the harehu or the hare ze expression is a reference to sacrifices. Ela Ema. So we have to go back and try to defend Abaye in light of this kasha, the source seeming to indicate that without the word olai, I have an example of Yodayim Shein Mochichos, and it wouldn't have been binding, whereas Abaye would have told you it is. So Ela Ema, Taimo Demar Olai, Hu De Asir B'Chaveru Mutar. By adding the word olai, it makes it such that I am prohibited from benefiting from the item, and someone else, however, is allowed to benefit from the item. Avo Omar Hare Hu, if he would have said simply that, Hare Hu, Shnehem Asurin, the Dilma Hare Hu Hektish Ka'omar. Because by saying Hare Hu, the implication is he is declaring it as Hektish. Hektish being something that's forbidden to everybody. Hektish is a sanctification of the item. So, just to review the defense of Abaye, we thought that the Tanaic source said you have to add the word olai, because without that, nothing would have taken hold. And that would have been a kasha on Abaye. Naming that harehu would have been an example of yodayim she'en mochichos. It's a partial phrase that lacks clarity, lacks preciseness, and therefore, according to the source, without the olai, it would have been non-binding, and that would have been a problem for Abaye. So the source, by saying you've got to have the word olai, indicates without it you've got yodayim shein mochichos lavin yodayim. Abaye says not so. The word olai is necessary to dispel an alternative vow binding conclusion. The word olai is needed to dispel a mistake I would have made. Once again, it's not simply because harehu is a partial phrase lacking clarity. That in and of itself wouldn't have meant that there's no vowel. Why then was it necessary to add olai? Because without olai, I would have thought that the speaker is sanctifying the item, thereby prohibiting it to be benefited by all. He therefore had to say olai to indicate that it's being prohibited only upon himself, but others are able to benefit. Meisvei, harezu chatos harezu osham. If a person says that, he declares an animal to be a sin offering or a guilt offering, even though the speaker is someone that is guilty of or obligated to bring a chatas or an osham. He, for example, is a person that had eaten eating blood of animals is a prohibition that, if done unwittingly, obligates a person to bring a chatas, a sin offering. So a person like that had in fact eaten animal blood, and he says harezu chatos, it's meaningless. Harezu chatosi, harezu ashomi. If he says this is my sin offering or my guilt offering, im hoya mechuyev dvarav kayomim. If he is a person that had been obligated to bring it, then by saying Harezu Chatosi, that will obligate him. That will in effect sanctify the item. Tiufta d'Abaye. Is this not then a refutation of Abaye? Meaning that without the extra element of clarity, if you have this what we would call Yodayim She'ein Mochichos, the source indicates Lomar Klum. That would be a refutation of Abaye. If we look at the Ran, second line from the bottom, Tiufta d'Abaye, Tohavadai, Yad, She'eno Mochich Miyohave, by saying Harezu Chatos, it is a partial expression. It's at least that the Kevon de Mechuyev Chatos, since the person himself had eaten blood, as an example, he's chayev to bring a sin offering, Harezu Chatosi Komar. By saying Harezu Chatos, in effect he's saying this is my Chatos. And yet the source says, Lo Amar Klum. So you see a problem for Abaye. Omar Loch Abaye. Ho money, Rebbe Yehuda he. Mai tells you that this source is in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. And I said what I said in accordance with the Rabbonan. Now, Rebbe Yehuda and Rabbonan, if you recall, they spoke up in the context of a divorce document, where Rebbe Yehuda said, you've got to spell things out. You have to add that V'dein dihavi lechi, etc. expression. So a source that's insistent on such specificity and preciseness and clarity, that's in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. But I, who said that you don't need that level of clarity in order to be binding, I am in accordance with the Rabbonon. The Gemara asks, for Abaye Huda Omar, but Abaye himself said, back in that discussion, back on the Heomid base, we have a little star, if you want to find where that was cited. Abaye there had said, V'ho Abaye Huda Omar, Ano Diyamri Afilu Rabbi Yehuda. My position is a position that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with. And now, you're telling me that I, Abaye, say what I do, only within the Rabbonan, not within Rebbe Yehuda. The Gemara says, Hodar Bey. Abaye retracted from that claim that his point of view was in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda as well. So he's retracting from that. And Abaye is in effect saying that The position I'm taking, that Yodayim Shein Mochichos is Yodayim, that's something only the Rabbonan would agree with. But Rebbe Yehuda, just like in the case of divorce documents, you have to have absolute clarity, so too in vow taking as well. You have to have absolute clarity. The Gemara continues, Elo Lemo Rova Diyamak Rebbe Yehuda. Should we say that just like Abaye is limiting himself to Shitas HaRabbonon, Abaye's Barplukta, Abaye's adversary, namely Rava, that he is limited to Rebbe Yehuda? Rava, who said you have to have Yodayim Mochichos, is in general, in vows, that's an opinion that's limited to Rebbe Yehuda. Amar loch Rava. Rava will say, not so. My opinion is not restricted to Rebbe Yehuda. Ano diamri afilu Rabbonan. My idea that you have to have Yodayim Mochichos in general, in vowels, is something that the Rabbonan would agree with. Ad kan lo koran Rabbonan delo b'inu Yodayim Mochichos. Up till now, we see the Rabbonan saying you don't have to have that exceptional clarity. Elo gabi get. Where are the Rabbonan lenient in there, or where are they of that opinion that you don't have to have exceptional clarity? That's in the case of the get, of the divorce document, because of the obvious surrounding circumstances. The Ein Odom Megaresh Eishes Chaveiro. A person doesn't divorce someone else's wife. The person is handing a get in which it says, Hare at muteres l'chol Odom, you are hereby muter to everybody. Obviously, he's not obviously he is divorcing his own wife. There's no room for any doubt about that. Avo bi'alma. But in general, in the general realm of vows, bo'inon yodayim melchichos, you have to have clear speech, that your partial expression has to be very clear. Otherwise, if there's some alternative meaning to what you say, to what you're saying, it will not be binding. Now, it comes out then, according to this Gemara, that Abaye and Rava are in effect arguing within the Shita of the Rabbanan. That namely, vows in general, according to the Shita of the Rabbanan, do you have to have clarity? According to Abaye, no, you don't have to have absolute clarity. According to Rava, the Rabbanan will tell you, in vows, with regard to vows in general, you do have to have absolute clarity. As far as Shita's Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, Abaye concedes that just like Rabbi Yehuda requires absolute clarity with regard to Gittin, he requires likewise with regard to all vows. And of course, Rava, of the holding that all Tanoim will agree with him, agree with that analysis of Rabbi Yehuda. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.